Well, praise the Lord, church. Y'all supposed to say, praise the Lord, pastor. How's everybody doing this morning? Are you awake? I'm going to wake you up.
All right.
I'm going to wake you up, sister. I hope to. All the time. I thank the Lord for the opportunity. You know, my sister was talking about how the enemy tried to get to her. We've always got some kind of an enemy, some kind of way that's going to always fight against us serving the Lord. But once you belong to him, it really doesn't matter what he can do. He can slow you up, but he can't stop you. Amen? He cannot stop what God has started. Cannot stop. So we just, our hearts are with our pastor on his in his absence, and we pray that the Lord will be with him and in, give him traveling mercies and be with them and give them comfort and let them know that we're concerned for them, that we love them, and that we wish them a very speedy return. And I just want to announce that we got a new ministry that's going to be starting up. Sister Angela Hill is going to be starting up a seniors ministry. And as I understand, it's going to be once per month. It's going to be a ministry where we'll get the seniors in the community and in the church together and just do some Jesus things. If you've got a desire to volunteer, then of course you can let the pastor know about it or let me know about it. We can use volunteers as I get my water here. Your age. And we might be wanting a name for this ministry, so if you want to submit some names that we might use for this ministry, just go ahead and do that, and we thank the Lord for it. Turn your Bibles if yes.
Just don't put the word old.
Don't put old. It's a it's seniors, it's matured saints. We'll call it matured saints. Right. I don't know if I want to go by that. How, the way I feel sometimes, I feel old and decrepit. Well, turn your Bibles over to 1 Corinthians 15. If you remember, Brother Bob has brought us a series of messages, as a matter of fact, on In Christ. And one of those messages, he spoke with us about the change that takes place, number one, when a person is saved. And I believe he might have touched upon the resurrection. He may have touched upon that, because I know he talked about a cocoon and how what happens when this slimy insect is it crawls up and becomes a cocoon and you don't want to touch it, and it leaves a trail behind it, and it's 1 Corinthians 15, and it's just yucky, and it gets up there and wrapped up in that cocoon, and then that metamorphosis or whatever happens on the inside happens, and the next thing you know, you got a beautiful butterfly flying out. Looks nothing at all like what went into it. But we're going to expand this a little bit more. I have also been doing a series, and it's the beautiful series, the beautiful human body and the beautiful human soul. So today we're going to do something here, and with the Lord's help, the beautiful spiritual body, something thereabouts. And we're going to go on and listen. I had a very interesting couple of days. I generally work on my messages on Saturdays. I was in Gainesville helping somebody move Saturday, so all of my Saturday was done physical labor. I got home, I was spent, and I laid down for a while. And around 8 something, I said, "Okay, I need to get up and start reading." And at 8:17, the power went out. Everything was black outside. You could see nothing. So I had to find my flashlight, and you know, it was enough. At the time it first went out, that I could sit at the door and read for a little while, and I said, "Well, I tell you what, I just after the sun went down, and I went on and lay down." So yeah, I can't do nothing here. So at around 12 o'clock, the power came back on. So you know that woke me up, startled me. I'm, "Oh God, what's going on?" So I get up, I say, "Okay, I'll get back here and work on it." 1 something, the power goes off again. It's okay. All right. Well, we can't do much tonight with this. So I'm simply going to have to trust God for tomorrow's message, by the way, had not been put together. So if you see me stumbling and trip down and hit my head, brother, just help me up because I'm trying to get through this thing. But this morning, I got up and started working on it. And I had a few hours to work on it, but, you know, I like to spend time doing the research. But having said that, this is God's message and not mine. And it's God's message to you. So I want to encourage you to not only pay attention, because you say, I've heard that before. Well, you might have heard it in your mind before, but have you heard it in your heart before? So I want you to pay attention to your heart, to the truths that are going to be revealed to your heart as a result of the message. Because I promise you, the enemy does not want this message brought to somebody in this room today. And you just look back over the past couple of days and judge and count up how your day's been going. And if it's something like mine, then that's you. And if it's not, that's you too, if you can hear it. Make notes. If it's a spiritual truth, write it down. Spiritual things are made of different substance than mental things. If you try to recall it with your mind, you might do it. I don't trust my mind to recall something that God has told me. If I can help it, I want to write it down and eventually try to commit it to memory, where I'm so used to hearing it and used to seeing it that it's, you know, my mind can handle it. But when it first hits, if it's something from God, I don't trust my mind. My mind has tricked me too many times. It is not trustworthy. And I got news for you. Neither is yours. It's a good time for everybody to say amen. I know y'all developed. I know there are many educated people in here. Some have greater education than I do, but let me tell you something. Education don't get you to heaven. Education doesn't make you holy. And the education and all the books in the world will not open the truths of God to your heart. Only the Lord Jesus Christ by His Spirit can do that. Having said that, let's go ahead and pray. Father, we thank You this morning for Your wonderful, wonderful, wonderful grace. And we thank You for Your love and kindness, O God, that's so, oh, so much better than words. And Father, it's to You that we come today, and we expect, Lord, to hear a word of truth from You that we've never heard before, in a manner that's never been spoken in our hearts before, in a manner that we can go with this, Lord, and live a victorious Christian life like we've never lived before. Help us, Lord, to hear You. In Jesus' name, amen. 1 Corinthians 15, chapter 35, I'm going to read all the way through to the end of that. And come back and do a little commentary. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, starting in verse 35. Amen. Praise God. Verse 35. But some man will say, how are the dead raised up, and with what body do they come? Thou fool, that which thou sowest is not quickened except it die. And that which thou sowest not that body that shall be, but bare grain, it may be chance of wheat or of some grain. But God giveth it a body as it hath pleased Him, and to every seed his own body. All flesh is not the same flesh, for there is one kind of flesh of men, another flesh of beasts, another of fishes, and another of birds. There are also celestial bodies and bodies terrestrial. But the glory of the celestial is one, and the glory of the terrestrial is another. There is one glory of the sun, and another glory of the moon, and another glory of the stars, for one star differeth from another in glory. So also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption. It is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. It is sown a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body and there is a spiritual body. And so it is written, the first man Adam was made a living soul. The last Adam was made a quickening spirit. Howbeit, that was not first which is spiritual, but that which is natural, and afterward that which is spiritual. The first man is of the earth, earthly, and the second man is the Lord from heaven. As is the earthly, such are they also that are earthy. And as is the heavenly, such are they also that are heavenly. And as we have borne the image of the earthly, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible shall put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. And so that's our scripture today in 1 Corinthians. It's a powerful scripture. It's a powerful truth for the body of Christ today. So let's dig in and see what we can glean from this today's scripture. What man shall say? How are the dead raised? Now, you know, people already are going to ask you about raised from the dead. Yes, right. Of course. I ain't never seen nobody raised from the dead. So there are going to be skeptics for that. How are the dead raised? And with what body do they raise? Sounds like a wise guy. He's trying to mess up your idea here, you see. Paul answers and says, you fool. He calls him a fool. The ones that ask that question is to say, you fool. Now, when you say fool to a man today, them's fighting words. You say, you ain't nothing but a fool. You got trouble on your hand, and some women too. Who are you calling a fool? But the Bible clearly defines fool. The fool has said in his own heart that there is no God. And so you be quick to come back and say, hold on, let me define the word fool I'm talking to. What you're saying is that you don't believe God. Not that you're some idiot, some dummy running around the street with no sense, but the biblical definition of fool is one that says that there is no God. So Paul says, you fool, that which you sow is not quickened or not given life, except it dies. And so it goes to an agricultural fact that when a seed is put into the ground, that seed has got to die before the plant comes out. It's the most amazing thing in God's creation. He takes a seed, you take a seed, I've taken a seed, many of you have taken seeds, put them in the ground, covered them up, watered them, and what did you do? You didn't keep digging the seed up. You just waited there, and you watched. And next thing you know, there's a shoot comes up, and you water it, and you might fertilize it. Next thing you know, you got a plant, and you keep on with it. And next thing you know, you got a plant, and it's bearing fruit. And so he says, it's got to first die. The seed has to die first. There must be a death in this in order for this other life, this new life, to come forth. Verse 37, that which thou sowest not that body that shall be, but bare grain, it may chance, of wheat and of some other grain. Now, he's talking about the dead raising, but he's utilizing some agricultural truths in this. And it's the same way that you look at the seed when you plant it. It doesn't look like the seed when it grows. It looks nothing at all like the seed when it grows. Do you know when you hold an acorn in your hand, you have a potential oak tree in your hand, which you can climb and sit in. Some of y'all could. I wouldn't, but you can. Yeah, huh?
You're pretty healthy.
Yeah. See, you got a tree there. It's a potential tree right there in your hand if you plant it and allow it to germinate. But God gives it a body as it has pleased him, and every seed his own body. Well, that's unique. Because that's as unique as your fingerprint is to you and as my fingerprint is to me. No one has the same two fingerprints. No one has the same voice. There might be similarities in voices, and it may come pretty close, but no one has. If you charted it and you computerized it and looked, you would see the differences in every individual. God makes everyone unique. He makes no duplicates. Even twins have some little thing about them that makes them different. And so everyone his own body. And then he goes and begins to explain about flesh. He says, look, all flesh is not the same flesh. So there are some kinds of flesh. Now, you know, that's right there. I'm going to mess with the animal activists. They're different. There's a very big difference in it. But the glory of the celestial is one, he said. That which makes the celestial what it is one and not like the terrestrial. And the glory of the terrestrial is a different one. Well, what is he talking about? Well, you got some folks that are maybe church people and claim Jesus, or maybe not. You know, there's sometimes you can meet people and say, are you a Christian? They'll say, well, I'm a Baptist. Mm-hmm. But okay, that's good. But are you a Christian? I'm a Baptist. Are you saved? Well, I'm a Methodist, or I'm a. They'll pick a title, you see, and so, but they won't own up to Christianity, per se. They won't own up to belonging to Jesus. Do you belong to Jesus Christ? Do you know Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior? Does He lead and guide you in your everyday walk? Do you check in with Him before you do things? Do you seek His approval for your life? Now, when you put it like that, that pretty much will kind of break it down and make it really clear whether you're dealing with a terrestrial body or a celestial, heavenly individual, what I say. And I'm speaking figuratively here. But that's how we can find that. It's not to say judge or put anyone down, because Jesus died for the world. But these kinds of questions are very important, because there are many people that think that they know the Lord Jesus Christ when all they know is a traditional church or a traditional relationship. Or they know a traditional family of folks, and we all think alike about the same thing, but there's no Jesus there. With there being no Jesus there, I call that so close, but yet so far. You're in the edifice. You're in a group that makes the claim, yet you've not met Him. Pastors who've not met Jesus. Men who have studied, have gone to seminary because it's a good career move. That's why. And that class that talked about meeting and knowing Jesus, they kind of zoned out or didn't listen to it and read fast across that. Just give me my degree. Give me my theological degree. And many of them will get their degrees, and because they are credentialed and degreed, they'll come out in this community and a church will go after them like fish after shrimp. I want him. He's educated. I want him. And put him up there. And, you know, the shepherd can only lead the sheep where the shepherd knows where to go. And so if you have a shepherd that don't have that close personal walk with Jesus, you cannot expect to see that in the sheep. And so if the shepherd is not walking up right before God, and you go there, be careful in the midst. Be very careful, because they can only go as far as that shepherd will take them, unless they're reading their Bible. And typically, if they're reading their Bible, they might not be there long, because they will begin to ask him about certain areas in the Bible that they don't see manifested. And then you'll have your little conflict, and you won't be there long. There's one glory of the sun, another glory of the moon, another glory of the stars, for one star differs from another in glory. All of the stars that you look and see in the skies at night are different one from another. This is the Lord that we present to you. There's not one precise, exact star as the other. You say they're all different. They differ one from another in glory. So also, then we get into the resurrection of the dead. So also, now remember, everything he said up to this point were examples. Then he says, now, I've given you these physical examples, these natural examples. Now I'm going to step in the spirit with this thing. And he says, so also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption. That means it's buried. Sown means it's buried in a state of degradation and decay and corruption. That means that the body decays. It's sown in that way. It's sown in corruption. But when it is raised, it says, in incorruption. Well, there is no more subject. It's no more subject to corruption, no more subject to degradation, no more subject to dissolution. Also, never again subject to death. never again subject to death. That is, so also is the resurrection of the dead. Now, you know, there's a saying among rabbins, that would be Jewish rabbis. There's a saying among them, very likely that the apostle in this and preceding verses might have used, says that the faces of the righteous shall be in the world to come like suns and moons and stars of heaven and lightnings and candlesticks and buildings. They say candlesticks, but like these lights. That means a glowing, glowing countenance to have, to come in those of the righteous, in your resurrected state. We've seen an example of that in the fact that when Moses went up to the mountain to get the Ten Commandments, when he came back, it says that his face glowed. So much so that the people were afraid to get near him. It was so imposing that Moses had to wear a veil over his face in order to talk to people like you and me in the presence of God. And when he came down, and then when he talked to the Lord, he'd move that veil back. And God spoke to Moses face to face. But men couldn't stand it. It was so imposing and so fearful to see someone's face that shines like that. And then we have another example of Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration when he took Peter, James, and John with him. And while he was there, the Bible says he was transfigured. And Peter looked and he saw this. He said, wow, this is great. It's good that we be here. Let's make three tabernacles, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah, because Jesus was seen speaking with Moses and Elijah, the representatives of the law and the representative of the prophets. There were three that he seen. And then a cloud overshadowed them. Now, when they saw Jesus in his transfigured state, he glowed. Whiter, he said, than any white. Whiter than any white. Can you think whiter? To glow whiter than any white. As white as you've seen. The whitest sheep that you've had in your wash day. Whiter than that. Whiter than any. Whiter than the white, even of the sun, he said. Whiter than any white would include the sun. That he glowed with a brightness greater than the brightness of the sun. You see, we need to make tabernacles. And that's when the cloud came and said, this is my beloved son, hear him. God's testimony that day was, you hear what my son said. Forget about the testimonies and the tabernacles and what the law says. Hear Jesus. That's all we're telling you. Hear Jesus. We go on in verse 43 and says of this resurrected body, that it is sown in dishonor. That's, it's being now stripped of all glory. It had a machine, fearfully, though it was fearfully and wonderfully made by the hands of God, this body still had the corruption and degradation and death in it. As glorious as our bodies might be now, and we do protect our bodies, and it makes sense to do it, you naturally protect yourself. You don't walk out in the middle of the street and don't look. You don't play with poisonous snakes. You don't bother people that you know, that might hurt you or something. You know, you're careful with how you go about your life. That's the natural man. We're like that. But this same body, once it's sown, will be raised in glory. It is raised in a glorious body because the immortal and forever redeemed, and is forever redeemed, listen at this, from the empire of death. We are right now reigning in a state or condition called death. You don't believe me? Go and reverse what I just said. Walk out there across that street a few times and don't look. Go up there on that main street and don't look. There's, guess what's in the middle of the street waiting for you? He's called death. If you can't swim, go and jump in the deep end of a pool. I'm immune from it. No, just go jump in there. Guess what's waiting in that pool for you? Death is waiting for you. Go cut the fool down in some of these places down here with somebody and you know, you get them wrong. Guess what's waiting for you, possibly? Mm-hmm. See, we right now are in death's domain. That's where we live. We spend our time, a lot of times, we spend our time dodging death. And when you stop at a red light, you're dodging it. When you watch traffic and you're careful how you pass, and we're dodging it. Now, y'all look at y'all with me? I don't mean to sound morbid, but you know what I'm saying is true. Most my coming here was that great dodge of death. You see? Some of the things you eat, you got to be careful what you eat, because you mess around and run right into death eating the wrong thing. And so you look at your plate, and if you don't recognize it, which sometimes people mix up in, and you don't know what that is. And what you do, you say, well, what's in it? And so you've been approved. No, I'm trying to dodge death here. What's in it? Well, we got avocado. I don't eat avocado. I can't eat avocado. But it's good. Well, I only got just a little bit in it. I don't do milk. And I asked, what's in it? They said, we just got a little bit of milk. I say, well, I can't eat it. But it's not that much. It's just a little bit. What you don't understand is, I can't eat no milk. I mean, I can if I want to, but it's just not a smart thing to do. It's not that it'll kill me, but it'll make me wish I was dead. You see? And so, I don't want even a tiny little smidgen of it in there, because it's not going to be good. It's not going to go well for me. It'll be some kind of reaction that's going to happen. So I want to know, it looks milky, is it? And if it's not, then great. Bring it on, baby. We're going to go with it. But if it is, it's best that I just don't do it. And so we are in the domain of this thing. We live here and we dodge all our lives. Well, that's okay because of Jesus. It's sown in dishonor and it's raised in glory. It's sown in weakness again under the dominion of death and dissolution. But thank God it's raised in power to be no more liable to weakness through labor or decay or age. Raised in power, no more liable to death, no more liable for the wasting that happens in our lives and dissolution. It's raised in power, the resurrection of the dead. And brothers and sisters, this is what this is all about for us, by the way. This is why we are here. This is why we come, because of the wonderful promise of this resurrection. It's sown, the Bible says, a natural body. It's like that seed that we were talking about earlier, that's sown into the earth. Well, if Jesus is in you and you belong to Jesus, when you're sown into the earth, something else is going to come out of there. But we'll see that as we go. But it's sown in an animal, with an animal. It's the animal part of us. There's an animal part of us, the physical part of us. It has the multiplicity of fluids and solids and different kinds of functions composed of muscles and fibers and tendons and cartilage, you know, all that makes up our present existence. We have the blood, the various juices, all of the different, we have to eat food, we have to eat it properly and have that to go and be turned into energy so that we can work. Then we have to do it all over again on a regular basis. That's the natural man. That's how the natural man works. You know it and I know it, and it's always worked that way. And until we die, it will continue to work that way and be necessary for us to survive. It will be necessary for us to survive. So it's sown a natural body, but it is raised a spiritual body. What's this spiritual body that he's talking about? What are some of the characteristics? Just some of the characteristics. It is a body that's perfect in all of its parts. Perfect. A perfect body in all of its parts, no longer dependent upon the natural production of food for support. You don't need that anymore in this body. No longer. Being built up on indestructible principles. No corruption. Nothing is destructible. Indestructible, and it exists in a region where there shall be no more death. No more causes of decay that leads to dissolution, and consequently, no more necessity for food. Not the food as we know today. That resurrected body will not need food ever again. That's the body that we look forward to. That's the body that we yearn for. The body is spiritual. It has a spiritual existence and it has spiritual support. In other words, it's nourishment, if there's such a thing for a spiritual body, and it's strength. If there's such a need for a spiritual body, and we have a spiritual body, it comes from spiritual means. It's spiritually supported. Even Jesus himself showed up on the shore and said, have you any meat? And he did. And one time he showed up, he was cooking fish on the shore. He ate to show them that it was him. To show them that it was him. But that same body that he walked in showed up in the room with them that was locked from the inside. The doors and the windows were latched down. You can't get in unless we come to the door and say, who is it? Well, except for Jesus, when he was resurrected, he showed up in the midst and said, all hell, what would that have done to you? I told you, Donald, lock the door. Why didn't you lock the door, man? And you go and look, the door's locked. You say, what are you talking about? The door was locked. I didn't unlock the door. Well, who left the windows open? How did he crawl in here? He didn't crawl in. He came in. That's the body. We're going to be like him, saints. Glory to God. We're going to be like him. The Bible says there is a natural body and there is a spiritual body. Just like one body differs in glory from another. It's going to be the same thing. There's a natural body and there is a spiritual body. And so it is written that the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The Bible says that the last Adam was made a quickening or a life-giving spirit. It speaks of two Adams. God had two sons. Y'all know that. God had two sons. The first Adam and the last Adam. The first Adam was made a living soul. He was a man conscious of his natural environments. He was given a special endowment to be Superman, if you will, in his natural environment to that place. He could touch and feel and manipulate his environment. He had dominion over everything that was there that God had made and placed under his hand. He was a powerful man on the earth at that time. He was so powerful that the enemy wanted his power. And that's why the deception came. But that first man, he was powerful. He had dominion. He owned the earth. He was rich. He owned the earth. Howbeit, that was not first which is spiritual, but that which is natural. And then afterwards, that which is spiritual. So God, listen, the Bible talks about works being finished from the foundation of the earth. So what happened with Adam and the coming of Christ was no surprise to God. He was not tricked. He was not caught off balance. If he's omniscient, then how could something like that happen and catch him off guard? Amen. Is he omniscient? Does he know all things or not? So if someone says, well, boy, that must have really surprised God. No, it couldn't have surprised him because he already knew. Well, the works were finished from the foundation of the world. Then he knew this was coming. So what did he do? He fixed it from the foundation of the world to also include what was going to happen with the first man, Adam, and to come on down and have that last man, Adam, in place so that he can make a race, a group of people not like any you've ever seen. Now, when he made Adam, that was a group not like any had ever seen, but there was some infallibility in that man. There was some innocence. And so God saw that. He purposely made him like that. Why? The enemy, Satan, is a crafty old fella. And he's standing there watching all that God does. He said, huh, I know how to throw that off. I know what to do with that. All I got to do is make him do this because I say do it. And all of his power will be mine. And I will have beat God and done just what I said I was going to do. And you look in Isaiah 14, you see where he had said the different things that he was going to do. And so when he did this, he called himself overthrowing God and destroying all that he created. And he was going to take over the earth. And it appeared that it happened just like he said. And death did reign. That was Adam's judgment. It was death. And death did reign. And we talked about that a few weeks ago. And so he thought he had it. Satan thought he had it, but he didn't have it. But he didn't know he didn't have it. That's the thing. He's so smart until he's dumb. He is. He's brilliantly, I've heard it said, brilliantly stupid. Yeah, he's hideously beautiful, Satan is. He has a beauty about him that's attractive, but it's in a hideous kind of a way. But if you're not watching, you'll get attracted to it. But it's not a beautiful kind of a attraction. He has a brilliance about him. He has a way about him that when he spins a yarn, it's almost believable. But he's a liar, and he's the father of a lie. The Lord said, let me tell you something about a liar. That's what he is. He's a liar. He told me the other day, he said, a liar will tell the truth just to authenticate his next lie. But I guarantee you, before the discussion's over, he'll be lying again. That's what a liar does. A liar will use truth, but a liar don't tell truth. He'll use a portion of it just to keep you where he wants you or where she wants you. But in the end, they're still a liar. They won't tell you the truth. The truth will make you free. They want you in bondage. Are you listening to me? You're dealing with liars. You need to get away because they want you in bondage. The thief comes but to steal and to kill and to destroy. Only Jesus came that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. So if you got a friend, you know that he's a liar. You say, oh man, you're full of lies. It's no laughing matter. If he's lying and you see him lying to somebody else, he's going to lie to you too. She's going to lie to you too. If they let you see the lie, it's like one of the best flimflams on the street. I want to get you, my brother. I want to trick you on the flimflam, and I got Donald as a partner. I'm going to let you see me and Donald doing a game together, and I'm going to let you see me cheating Donald. And you're going to see that and try not to be involved. But your greed will pull you in if it's there. One of the best flimflams on the street is to use a lie. And what they do when they do that is they appeal to your corrupt side on the streets. Do I talk like I know what I'm talking about? Because I've been caught in a couple of flimflams. And they appeal to my greed. But it starts looking good after a while because that old dummy keeps going for that same little thing there. And then I get invited in. And the next thing you know, they got my money going down the street. And got me thinking that the police is coming and we're going to get locked up. So we need to separate quick. This was when I was a younger man. And they took off this way and that way. And I took off this way and I was running fast. Then I started slowing down and wait a minute. wait a minute. By the time I got on the bus, it hit me. That's all the time they needed. That's all the time a liar needs. Just that much for you to get caught in that lie long enough to hold you to where they want you to be so that they can kill you in whatever fashion they want to get you. They might be beautiful. The women might be beautiful. But if she's a liar, you better watch your back. Man might be handsome and built. Or man, he might be a hunk or whatever y'all call him these days. I don't know. I don't get out anymore. And he might be. You don't call him anything. They might be that. But listen to me. If they are a liar, you need to get you some strength and get away from that. Because you're dealing with fire there. Thou shalt be burned. Amen. The first man was of the earth, earthy. That means he was made from the earth. He was made from dust. He was earthy. The second man is the Lord from heaven. He was in a resurrected body. It was in a heavenly body, in a heavenly nature. And that body that second man was in was no longer subject to decay, no longer subject to death, no longer subject to anything that the first man was. As is the earthy, such are they also that are earthly, and as is the heavenly, such are they also that are heavenly. And as we have borne the image, as we have carried, as we have worn and carried the image of the earthy, the Bible says we shall also bear or carry the image of the heavenly. Just like we look like the first Adam right now, we resemble the first Adam. We have bodies like the first Adam, arms and legs and head and bodies like the first Adam. Just as we resemble the first Adam, in that day we are going to resemble that last man. We're going to resemble that last Adam. And you listen, there's no way that we can inhabit the heavenly home without a different body. You can't do it, and it says so. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither does corruption inherit incorruption. It can't be done. Man in his present state cannot inherit the kingdom of God. We can't do it. In our present state, we can't do it. If someone says, well, I'm just going to be positive, I'm going to think positive, and I can make it in, you can't do it. It says flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. His nature, man's nature is not suited, it's not situated to the place of heaven. It's not made for it. It cannot handle it. He could not in his present state endure that exceeding weight of eternal glory that comes. Therefore, it is necessary that we should die or be changed. It's necessary. Death is necessary. The flesh and blood man cannot inherit. So we say, man, death is so bad. Death is so horrible. I just hate death. Well, I do too, because it's taken a lot of people that I truly, truly love dearly. That I hate about death. But then the other part about death and the good part about death is in order for us to experience the glories of heaven, we must die. We must pass through. Or there's one other way out of that, and hopefully we'll get to that. But that's it. Or we must be changed. That the celestial body is the one that is suited for heaven. It's got to happen, see? And so that's why we say, let's get some folks saved, because we want them to enjoy heaven with us. We want them to come in with us so we can enjoy heaven together. But, you know, the Christian is the only one that has victory over this thing called death. Then he goes, he says, now behold, he says, now I'm going to show you something. I'm going to show you a mystery. He says, we shall not all sleep. Sleep means die. That means to be dead. It's sort of a euphemism. Jesus said of the young girl, they said, oh, she's dead, she's dead. She says, why make this ado? She's not dead, but she's sleeping. Remember that? And it says they laughed him to scorn. Oh, now these people were mourning and crying and yelling out, professional mourners. And when Jesus says she's not dead, she's asleep. Well, they saw that she wasn't breathing, her heart wasn't beating, she wasn't moving. And they laughed him to scorn. And he put them out and he raised her because he said she's asleep. Hey, what Jesus says goes, amen? If he say we sleep, we sleep. I like sleep better. So it says, we shall not all sleep, but here's the good news. We shall be changed. Did you hear that? Y'all didn't stand up or nothing and say nothing. I mean, we shall be changed. We shall be changed. Look at 52. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. That's it. In a moment, in an atom, that is an indivisible point in time. Atoms are small. But in an atom, a moment is a you can't even divide this point in time. The moment is so quick. We'll be changed just that quick. I'll be looking at Donald and we'll be talking and I say, Donald, I can see through you, man. And you say, man, I can see through you. Stand still. We'll be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. Folks say, you know, I need a ride. Oh, they're here. It's a wonderful truth. It's indivisible by time. In the twinkling of an eye, as soon as a man can wink, he calls the resurrection of the dead from the foundation of the world at time and the change of all living then upon the earth. It shall all be done. Millions, perhaps billions of saints that have died and gone before us in the ground, in the earth, in the air. Some were probably cremated. Some were probably killed at sea. Some were probably eaten of beasts. In a moment, we will all be changed. At 1 second, 1 moment, he's going to do all of that throughout the annals of time, of human history. In a moment, we shall be changed. It will be instantaneous. This is what I look forward to. I sure hope to God you do too. For this corruptible that we have now, this body, this corruptible that we have now, must put on incorruption. And this mortal, this short life that we live now, must put on immortality, which is no ending, never ending, always, always goes and goes. So when, as we go on, and he's explaining a wonderful truth. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying which is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? And our Lord rose victorious over death and the grave. And if you are in him, you rose victorious with him at the time of his resurrection. That's the good part about it. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin. So we know that as long as we're alive, we're going to have a problem with sin. As long as you're on this earth, you're going to have a problem with sin. As holy as you want to live before God, and I commend you, and God loves it when you want to live upright before him. That is a hallmark that Jesus lives in you. But do you know we're still going to mess around and sin here and sin there? The problem is when you do it willingly and wanting to do it all the time. There's a question there. I got to go and get this sin gone for the day. I got to go and hook this up today. There's a problem there because you don't want to run after it, but we're still tripping and we still fall into it. Sometimes it's a thought. Sometimes it might be an act. But it's not something that you practice and that you proudly practice. That's an indication. If it's a proud practice of it, I can't tell you anything, but go talk to the Lord about it. If you dare, unless you want your sin. And that's okay. I mean, it's your life. Amen. Y'all know if I confronted you, y'all going to get mad, some of y'all anyway, right? Who you think he is anyway? Tell me what to do. So, yeah. So that's just how that goes. The sting of death is sin and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which gives us the victory through our Lord. And he does give us the victory. Say amen. Amen. Through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, beloved, the Bible says we should be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain. I want to encourage you this morning with the words of Jesus. He said in John 14, he said, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. And if it was not so, I would have told you. That's what he said. He said, now I'm leaving. I'm going to prepare a place for you, that where I am, there ye may be also. If I prepare a place for you, he says, I'm coming again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Then he says, remember at the beginning, if you believe in God, believe in me. Then he says, believe that I'm coming again. You believe that today? There's an order of these things that I want to share with you real quickly as I close. Jesus, in all of the dignity and splendor of his eternal majesty, shall descend from heaven in the mid-region. He's coming down in the mid-region. What the apostle calls the air. This is the air right here. The air. Somewhere within the earth's atmosphere. Expect it. Somewhere within this earth's atmosphere. Then, there's going to be a shout, or there's going to be an order that's going to be given. And that order is going to be given to the dead. It's going to be dead arise. That order is going to be so only the dead will hear it. Amen. The dead will hear it. There will be an order given to the dead. So if your mama died in Christ, she's going to hear it. She's going to hear it. Dead arise. She's going to start going like this. If daddy died in Christ, he's going to wake up. Next, the archangel, as the herald of Christ, shall repeat the order. Arise, ye dead, come out. Come to judgment. Come out, he says. He's going to be there. And when the dead in Christ are raised, the Bible says, then the trumpet shall sound, and the signal for them all to flock together to the throne of Christ. It is by the sound of the trumpet that the solemn assemblies under the law was brought together. When the dead in Christ are raised, their vile bodies will be made like unto his glorious body. I catch you. This is just some points I'm giving you. Yeah. When the dead in Christ shall rise, their bodies, their corruptible bodies that were planted, will be made like unto his glorious body. Then those who are alive shall be changed and made immortal. And so the first thing that's going to happen is the dead is going to be raised. There's a chance you might see mama walking around and say, man, she looks just like my mama. Man, I could have swore I saw dad. What in the world's going on? Hey, that's Junior over there. That looked like, hey, wait a minute. What's going on here? That's what we're going to see. There are going to be those in the grave that are going to get up. The graves are going to open. And we're going to see them. So they died because they had to die in order for the change to come. And then after that, another thing is going to happen. Then those that are alive and remain are going to be changed. And then our vile bodies are going to be changed like his glorious body. And then there won't be any mystery now about the dead raised, because we go, hey, mom, what? And you just wonderful family reunion, but don't get settled too soon, because after that, we're going to all be caught up together with Jesus Christ in the air. And he's going to take us back. And when he takes us back, we're going before a judgment. But it won't be a judgment for our sin. It won't be a judgment for the bad things that we've done in our life. It'll be judgment of the works that we performed. That's the judgment. It's called the judgment seat of Christ. And we'll all go before that judgment seat of Christ. And then he will judge our works. Those books will be opened, and he will judge our works. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 3:12, if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble. And so it's identifying the kinds of works. Gold and silver and precious stones, those are the good works. Wood, hay, and stubble, not good works. You know why? Because the works are going to be judged by fire. They're going to be judged. When you say fire, you mean like burn up? Well, it's going to be judged based upon their moral standing, based upon their standings in truth. If your life has been one of truth, and you've walked in truth, and you've stood for truth, and you've lived in truth, and you've touched this life or performed this work or done this, from that perspective, those works will be judged. Those works will bring rewards. If you've been in and out of truth and not really standing for truth and got it all mixed in, those works will be burned because they're not based in the standard of truth. That's the loss that you'll have before the judgment seat of Christ, but never, if you're in Christ, will you have the loss of your soul, because you're saved always and forever. And so you'll simply have the loss of rewards. And that's what we'll have. And so this wonderful, wonderful resurrected body that we have to look forward to, it must eventually be planted, or we must be changed. Because the only way that you're going to inhabit heaven is in a new body. Flesh and blood won't do it. So saints, take these truths to heart. I hope it hits you in a place where you'll never get over it. I hope it haunts you as you go. The next time you go and something is facing you, a decision, I hope you think back. And it says, nah. Your little thing sit on your shoulder and say, hey, remember what Pastor Raspberry said? Oh yeah, that's right. And pray past that and walk out of it and walk away from it. Remember what I told you about liars? A liar is that. A liar. This was a stern warning that I didn't write down anywhere, but that the Lord wants to say this morning. If you know a liar and you're hanging out with a liar, you need to find you somebody else to hang out with, because they're going to lie to you like they would everyone else. So amen.
Amen.
God bless you. Let's pray. Father, thank you for today and for this message today. Lord, we hope that you reached us and spoken your truth to our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
God bless you. Thank you.